Blog Talk Radio.
This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and you're listening to Righteous Consciousness. My name is Darlene Lawrence, and I am your host. This is the 438th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what has been placed on my heart. I pray that we receive awareness and understanding, and that we go on to do your work as we rebuild a people and ultimately a nation. In the name of your precious son, Jesus. Evening, everyone. Good evening. It's so much that has been going on. I say good evening for all of us in the land of the living because it's been a lot going on today. As you know, that there has been another homeland terrorist job or terrorist act right here in the United States in Las Vegas, total of 59 people that have been killed at this point. It seems like that the numbers are still, they're still trying to get everything together. And about 527, I believe it is, that is injured from this attack, from this 64-year-old gun-carrying rich dude, millionaire, man with plenty of money. Okay, so whatever has eaten on him or has gotten him to that particular point where he go inside of a hotel and barricade himself in and just begin to kill people at random. It's really, really heartbreaking. So I do render my heartfelt prayers to those families and to the people that have experienced this horrible times and real critical times. And it's a time where we don't really want to do too much because it's just too much going on. You know, I'm coming up on a birthday, and you know, some of my friends is trying to get me to plan a trip, and I'll tell you the truth. I want to go. I want to do something. But when you see stuff like this, you just get a little bit apprehensive. I do believe God is going to protect. And when it is your time, I hate to say it that way, but for whatever reason, His will be done. I don't mean to say I'm morbid tonight, but when you see this kind of stuff in the news, it weighs heavy on your heart because we are in this society with a deranged person that is running this government that stokes hate and that speaks out both sides of his neck. We are going to talk about, it's time to wake up. And yes, I got to say to my brothers, you need to boycott the NFL. And we're going to talk about reasons why. It is not just about Colin Kaepernick. Definitely. It is that man nailed for something. He nailed down on his knees for a reason. And yes, he was disparaged after he took that action. He was disparaged, but it's because of what it stands for. And it stands for not just our young men and women that has been slain in the street in a criminal justice system that is always stacked against them and always for the police, that we can clearly see has murdered in the name of the law, innocent people of color. So we do look at that, and that is a conversation, because there are some people that really believe, hey, it's nothing wrong with that. We don't deserve to live anyway. We're second-rate citizens. We're supposed to be, at least. That whole conversation, that whole lock-in-the-arm thing that they're trying to do, no, the man got on a knee for a reason. And it's something that George Clooney, he wrote something I read, and I'm not going to try and recite it in verbatim. But George Clooney, he made a response to all the hate that was stoked after, you know, that stuff went down with the president tweeting about, you know, the disrespect of the anthem. And Clooney went on, he says, you know, I pray for a better world. I pray for children. I pray for free. And he even names in it, I pray for a child like Tamir Rice to feel safe in the streets. He goes on and he talks about, I pray for our leadership. I pray for this. And then at the end of what he say, and when I pray, I kneel. You know? They've taken the fact that this man chose to kneel, his humbling, his not putting his hand on his heart for blood to flow through his veins that don't feel that he lives in a society of color he's cared for, and so many others. We are broadcasting live here in the city of Philadelphia in brotherly love, sisterly affection. The number to call in is 323-870-4174. And I like to get you guys, if you're out there, I like to get you into the conversation. And you can do that by pressing 1. Now, I have run up against, I've talked to a lot of men. And I'm watching football. I don't care what nobody says. And I know, hey, I know. I understand that's your twist. You know, you got, you know, so many months that you can watch it, and so many months it's on. But when it's off, it's usually you have some other type of a sport that you're into or whatever. So it's not even an entire year, but it's an entire gearing up to it. You know, you talk, you know, you're thinking about all the wins and defeats and all the good plays that you might have, that your team may have made, you know, the previous season. You like to see a certain team. You think, you know, the new draft pick, you want to see how that boy play. I know. I was raised with brothers. I understand it. I get it. I watch football. Love football. Okay? But when I think about, I think her name was Gloria Brady, I don't want to butcher the lady's name, that owns the cigar bar in Brooklyn, that says black lives is more important than football. And she won't allow NFL discussions or, you know, her little cigar bar, her, you know, TV monitors, she's not playing the game. They're not talking about it because it has to be a real conversation and there needs to be some respect earned. And for all the guys that just cannot live without football, because, I mean, they just might, you know, something might real serious happen to them if they don't get football, like they might die or something like that, opposed to making a better life, laying down the tracks for respect for your future generations, your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on. That's what that stand is for. And as long as we fall right into the status quo with the rest of this society, as long as we do that, well, guess what? The beat goes on. And on. Nothing ventured. Nothing changed. The same old, same old. And while we're talking about the same old, 1% is getting richer while you're sitting there watching the game, letting the sponsors brain massage you with all the stuff that they want you to run out there and buy, as well as the stuff you will run out there and buy, all the flags for your car, all the NFL gear, you know, even the doggone Wheaties with the NFL officials on the box. They get a cut out of that too. It's respect that you are kneeling for. Now, that kneeling, I'm just speaking of it in a sense symbolically at this point. But as I said, don't we watch a lot of stuff? Aren't we distracted? Aren't we? Well, it's time for us to wake up. It's time to wake up. Now, there's so many reasons why I say that it is time to wake up. One reason is, I know it's been on the news, it's going on all about it. At least we're hearing sound bites and little different pieces of information coming out about this tax plan. But if you look at with everything that's going on, and now we're talking about your finances. We're talking taxes. We're talking money. Okay? Now, this whole battle that the president, so to be, of the United States get involved in with the NFL, this whole fight they have, that he's having with the team leaders saying that you should fire, you know, your athletes if they don't do certain things. And then, you know, then there's everybody else in the world responding to, oh, that's horrible. Why would he say this? It's not even about that. It's not even this. Oh, you know, this whole thing trickles down. Meantime, you got some things that's going on that is distracting us. And we need to wake up. You got a tax plan that a president that don't care about anything but people like him. Look at everybody who he put in his cabinet. Price, director of health or whatever it was that he was supposed to be of. What do he do? Oh, he's so used to the lavish lifestyle, you know, instead of draining the swamp. Instead of doing all that, he is the swamp. He's going around all around in these private jets, racking up over $1 million worth taxpayer money. Now, remember, I said they got a tax plan. And they're telling you one thing with it, and, hey, something else is going on. I see that I have a caller that's in right now. Caller, you on the air?
Hey, my sister, how you doing?
Hey, my brother, what's going on?
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. 2 weeks ago, I mean, what a difference 2 weeks makes. And I'm gonna tell you something. I thought I was the biggest proponent of what you were saying of boycotting the NFL. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there is a big old game of smoke and mirrors. And let me tell you why I support what you're saying. And just as you said, you know, hey, you know, I'm a guy. You know, I love football. You know, I love my Philadelphia Eagles. But in the same sense, I love the wheels of justice. And the wheels of justice, they turn slowly. And, you know, let me explain. You know, why I did a whole 180. And the reason we realized, you know, of the events that happened over the weekend, you know, with the Las Vegas shooting and, what I've been trying to do here locally, here in Philadelphia, which is try to, you know, increase a bullet tax, you know, where we increase, you know, $50 a bullet. And, you know, here I seen on the news where the guy, you know, his brother, they shoved the microphone in his brother. They tracked his brother down, and they found out that, you know, hey, what do you feel about your brother? And the guy, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but he was like, you know, I wish I had an explanation or something. And he said, but, you know, if I could give you one, I'd give you one. And he says, I just don't know what to say. You know, same thing here with, you know, as me being a guy that, you know, like I said, I like the NFL. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, but one thing I do know is that with the owners, you know, now stepping, you know, they're lockstep, you know, with the players, and they're saying, hey, you know, what you're saying is wrong. And there's a chain of events that happens when, you know, we say there's smoke and mirrors. Well, you have to understand what happened. And what happened was President Trump, I'll give him that title, President Trump was in Alabama. And he said, I would love to fire guys that are kneeling at the game, and I would love to say you're fired. But the thing is that he chooses his time and place. And the one thing about, you know, President Trump is that he's 70 years old. Okay? Now, let's just take, for instance, O.J. Simpson just got released from jail. He is 70 years old. Everybody's saying it's only a matter of time before he does something again.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So now if
I'm so glad you
take
did.
That same example and we reflect how old our president is and say the same thing as what he's always done, it's okay to grab women's crouches. It's okay to do this. It's okay, you know what? I will bomb the S out of this country and that country. It's only a matter of time. He's always acted like this, even throughout his campaign. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking he's probably he woke up that the next morning when they said he won the election, that he was surprised that he won. Because I never, ever in my lifetime have ever heard a president talk the way this guy talks. Incites the crowd like he's at a Klan rally. Okay, now let's go back to what he said at Alabama. When he said that Alabama does not have an NFL team there. Now, if he would have said something about Crimson Tide or one of those other college teams they have, that crowd would have been silent. He would have been ran out of that podium. Okay,
well,
if he said
I don't know. The people that was there at that rally, I don't know if they would have ran like that because they're still Trump supporters.
Well, let me tell you this, right? The same thing with all right, let's just say this for instance. Let's say, you know, President Barack Obama went to right here in Philadelphia. And he condemned the NFL players in Philadelphia. Like we have, we have our players that are kneeling, and you know they're doing their protests. If you'd have said that, Barack Obama would have been booed here in Philadelphia. No matter how many people voted for him, they would have thought about their team. They wouldn't have thought about the man and the issues that he stood for. They would have booed him as popular as Barack Obama. And even on his most unpopular day, Trump has not even achieved his, you know, that rating for presidential approval. But, you know, right now, what this country is this country, this shows that this country is divided. You know, and we need something a little different because Democrats are mad and Republicans are still cheering for him.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but one of the things, and this is what the essence of what I'm saying, why we have to wake up. We got to stay on course. That's important issues to boycott the NFL. Those team owners have money to give this man who is trying to take rights away from you and to undo the legacy of President Obama every way that he can. I look at what is going on in Puerto Rico. People of color still. They are our brothers and sisters. He are making them suffer because, first of all, you cannot vote for a United States president in Puerto Rico. You can vote for other offices, but not president. He don't care about them. They have had some economic challenges in previous years. And he's talking about, oh, we're going to see where all this debt comes from. You don't say that when people are living in a crisis situation. You don't say that. Now, he finally, and I think this, I guess, was through McManus or some of them, one of those other people that got maybe half of a heart and more of a brain than his. Hillary, the week when this first happened, last week, earlier in the week, Hillary tweeted to him with McManus, whatever his name is. I'm bad on names. Sorry, not no disrespect meant. But she tweeted, you might want to send the USDC, I think that's what it was, Comfort. It is a military hospital ship. They are American citizens. She did it in a tweet, no doubt, because he would be too pompous and vain to take a direct phone call from her. This woman's done this, and we talked about this last week. But the reason why I'm even bringing it up, I think it was yesterday I saw on the news, the ship, Comfort. They finally sent Comfort in after San Juan has made her plea. Now, but, of course, he still gives her a browbeating all about a whole bunch of other stuff that has gone wrong with the whole, you know, with the rescue mission. And he's only looking for stuff for himself. But one thing I want to go back to, and it's something you said, my brother. You mentioned about OJ being 70 and Trump being 70. And you said something. You didn't say it too much. I listened to the attorney general from Florida because that's where OJ, he wants to go to where his kids, his family is. And they live in the Tampa Bay area, Florida. He asked the attorney general. She's making all these proclamations. She's going to keep him out of her state. She don't want him there, blah, 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 blah. But if we have to take him in, we're going to watch him. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. If you see him in the bars, because he was under some, you know, alcohol or whatever, they have him on, you know, while he's on parole. If you see him out drinking, you call the police. We'll tell you what the reporter that was on the show said. Well, we must remind you that he is a 70-year-old man. I mean, he lived a lot of his time there in the prison. You know, he came. He's lying. He's fooling everybody. He's doing this and this. She said, well, he is a 70-year-old man. No, it's impossible that he, a 70-year-old man, no matter all that he may have done or may have not done, all that he may or may not have, and at this age, it's you know, he's just notable. But it's impossible. What you said, that was just profound. What you said about Trump, he can grab women's crouches. He can do all this disparaging stuff to people, even his own cabinet. He's just horrible. And I see I have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Just hang tight, darling. I'll get your caller on, and we're about to get them on there really soon.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I was listening to you and your caller, and y'all making some valid points, but I think even before we even get to President Trump or anybody else, we have to focus on us. When I say us,
absolutely.
I mean we don't even stand together as one. These NFL owners, when Kaepernick took that knee, whether they want to admit it or not, they all, whether they called each other or they sent the text, they unified and said, none of us are going to sign him. None of us are going to give him the time of day, whether they want to admit it or not. We can see it. So what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
is we have our own people that see this brother being done unjustly. We all see it, and we still get up every Sunday, not me, but other brothers and sisters mm-hmm. get up and put on their jerseys and put on this
mm-hmm.
paraphernalia and sit down for 6 hours out your day. Matter of fact, with 2 games on Sunday, 3 games on your whole Sunday, you giving to them when they blatantly did doing your own brother wrong, and you blatantly see it, and you acting like you don't care. So I think until we own up and look in the mirror and say, "Listen, that's our brother. We're gonna stand with him. We can't talk."
That's what I'm talking about.
Organize. Organization is the key. So we need to take a stand. We need to say, you know what? I think it was in Uruguay or somewhere. It was a country in Africa where Pepsi wanted to sell their products there, and they had an uprising as far as what was real bad as AIDS. So they had this needle waters or this penicillin they could give the parents. I mean the mother, so that way the baby wouldn't get it. So they needed about $10 million, right? So they tried to bring the Pepsi products into the country, and nobody bought it. They said, until Pepsi is willing to put up that $10 million for these pregnant women to get this shot so their kids won't be infected with HIV, we're not buying no Pepsi products. And it took 8 months, and them Pepsi products sat on them shelves for 8 months, and nobody touched them. And when Pepsi seen that they was making the money off of that, they finally put that money up. That $10 million so those women can get those shots so those babies wouldn't pass HIV to the babies. That's organization. We can do the same thing if we put our minds to it. And that's
you
how I feel.
So
that's what
right.
I think we need to do.
You are so,
so
right, my brother. You know what? I got to tell you, and I think I know who you are too, my brother.
Right.
All right then. I think I know who you are, and I have to tell you, this brother is very progressive. He's involved into nothing but positive stuff. I thank you so much for calling in. I have been talking about that. I have been talking about us organizing. I have been talking about us building our own businesses. But this
right.
is a young brother that says what I have been saying. We need to organize and stand together, just like what he spoke of, what the people did. They held out. They didn't buy nothing from Pepsi. That stuff set. They don't understand one thing, only one thing, and that's green. And I spoke of that in the last show. It's only green that is understood, and that's what happened in the Montgomery bus boycott, December 5th. 1955, they went out on strike. They stopped. When I say strike, I'm talking about the people. They would not ride that bus. They did it for over 1 year. They ended the boycott December 20th, 1956. In that amount of time, if they did not take that stand, and you know they persevered, they didn't have the conveniences like we do today, cell phones, you know, laptops. You know, we have all kinds of other conveniences. We got Uber. We have all kinds of conveniences now, Lyft. We have all kinds of ways to get to where we need to go or do what we need to do. Technology, we are in that time of technology. So there shall be. In order to do this boycott, yeah, you got to persevere some things, okay? But when I think about what they had to persevere and deal with, you know, they had some women, they had, you know, cleaning houses for you know, the white folks. They had to clean their houses, and some of them tried to organize rides to get them to a certain point because they wanted to have their houses clean and their kids taken care of, for one thing. But they would not take that bus. And many of them walked miles. And we're talking about perseverance. And when I see
right.
guys that say, when I say to them about, oh, my, I ain't thinking that, when I say that, it just makes me think of how weak we are. How weak and how much, I shouldn't look at it that way as how weak we are. I guess in a more optimistic way, I should look at it how strong we need to be. You know,
right.
we have to build that strength. You know,
we don't even understand the, I don't mean to cut you off, but we don't understand the power that we have. There are 40 million of African Americans in the United States. We make up $1.3 trillion of the US economy every year. Automatically, $1.3 trillion just from black dollars generated in this economy every year. We have power. We just don't know how to use it. We have to organize it.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, if we sit up here and we say, you know what, we're not going to watch. We're not going to watch your games on Sundays and Mondays. We're not going to buy none of your paraphernalia, none of your jerseys or your hats, anything like that. We're not going to even support the sponsors that pay you for your games to come on TV. That's going to say, okay, it might not happen overnight, but guess what? If we do this for a year or 2 years, they have a new CBA, they have a new contract coming up in 2020. If we start this now in 2017, the NFL makes annually $13 billion every year automatically, and $8 or $9 billion comes from TV contracts. So if we drop their ratings now, when it comes time for 2020, when it's time to renegotiate the new contract, those stations are going to say, wait a minute, the ratings have dropped. The ratings have dropped, so we're not going to give you $9 billion like we did this last time, 3 years from now in 2020. We're not going to do that. So now you're affecting their pocket. You're letting them know that we're not going to stand by, let this rubber be done unjustly, because if you mess with him, you're going to hurt all of us. That's what we need to understand. And it's not about physically doing anything. It's about showing them that we understand strength in numbers, and we understand what we add to this country, because when we go to this country was built on the back of free labor, the back of our people.
That's, right.
That's why when they say, okay, well, Kaepernick is disrespecting the flag, what about those soldiers, those black soldiers that fought in all those wars that have come back and yet treated like second-class citizens? What about the ones that was experimenting on Tuskegee? What about them? What about them? What about when they had the POW shows, when they had the POW shows and Lena Horne performing, and they had the black soldiers sitting behind the prisoners of war? We had to sit behind the prisoners of war. So don't tell this. They know it's not about veterans. They know that. But see, they try to change the narrative. The same way the other caller was talking about how they're talking about Trump made that comment in Alabama, and then all of the NFL owners and the players, they wouldn't stand enough for police brutality. They just want to show solidarity because Trump made this comment.
Right.
See how they try to change the narrative? They try to take it from what it was originally purposed to do and switch it around. But we can't let them do it.
Yeah.
And these NFL players that's not standing by their own brother, even though he's a black brother and he's our brother, they're still a union. They're still a union, and that union is the weakest union out of any of the sports unions, all of them. That's the weakest one. They need to get themselves together because they're not even standing by their own union, brother. They're just leaving them out high and dry. If them players said 1 week, we're not going to play, we're not going to play, don't even let the owners know, none of us are going to come to them stadiums week five. Imagine how much pressure that would put on them. Listen to this. These players say they're not playing.
Yeah.
1 week, they're going to dedicate 1 week because you're doing our other union brother. It don't even got to be a black and white issue. You're doing our other union brother wrong.
Right.
And that goes for Tom Brady or Drew Brees to Cam Newton. If all of them say these are the faces, if Tom Brady says something, people move because they respect him for what he's done and what he's doing. He's the face of the league. So, and he has been silent on this whole issue, all the way silent. He ain't even saying anything about it, but we still go out and buy his jerseys and watch his games and support him. And that can't be the case.
Mm.
We have to unify, because when it comes down to anybody else, they unify. It's a quote that Dame Dash, he used to own Rockefeller Records. He made a quote. He said that he was talking to this Jewish guy, and the Jewish guy said, "We call y'all liquid money." He started laughing. He's like, "Well, what do you mean liquid money? As soon as they give you the money, you give it right back to us. As soon as they give you the money, you give it right back to us. So we call y'all liquid money because in their neighborhood, that dollar that they make generates a neighborhood, goes around the neighborhood 17 times before it goes up, before it comes out. 17 times it circulates in their neighborhoods while we only do it maybe once. Maybe once. So we need to understand the power of the black dollar. That's all I'm saying.
My brother, you done said way too much. And you know what? I'm going to give you a big hug when I see you. You're going to know why, okay?
All right.
I'm going to tell you something. This brother right here hit every point right on head. And I'm going to tell you, my brother, if you go back and listen to some of my archive shows, you are saying exactly what I am talking about. Past shows I have done about building our own economic power, our journey back to Black Wall Street. That was a previous show. These titles have morphed into this conversation because of what's going on right now. But it's so much, and one of the things that, and like I said, you hit every point right on point. There is so much that's happening to distract us. Because one thing, that is something very near and dear to us, what is going on with civil rights. For most of us, for the majority of us. For some, you know, some folks say, oh, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. But these are the folks that it's hard to get to understand, but we can't give up on them. We have to find out other efforts and other ways to reach everyone. The bottom line is that's organizing, just like you said. We have to organize.
Right.
We have to get people together. We have to help educate, have people to understand what this whole thing is really all about. There is a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and this issue is very important, and we are people that are very passionate, and we do get caught up in it because, hey, how can you not? It's about your livelihood. It's about your family. It's about all of those things important to your very existence. But also, we have to think about some other things that's happening. You hear parts of it that come about in the news, this whole issue with the tax, this new tax plan that he's trying to get through. He couldn't do anything with health care. He was busy trying to ram that through. Okay.
Right.
Not caring about anybody, anything, and those hurricanes that came about kind of shook up a lot because we're dealing with natural, you know, acts of God just as well that's going on. And there's a lot that's going on that he's using the whole NFL issue as a culture war, you know, to keep people fighting and you know, all kinds of crazy foolishness. But we can't sleep on it. And that's the whole point to the show or this particular message. We can't sleep on it. You know, Harold Melvin of Blue Notes wrote the song years ago, "Wake Up." And it's what we got to do. No more sleeping in bed. We can't say everything is wonderful, everything is good, you know, because you know, we got a job, we have a decent home, a car, a nice spouse, a significant other, got a couple of nice threads in the closet, you know, I go on a trip every once in a while, got my flat screen TV, got, you know, everything that makes life good, cozy, and comfortable for you. But all at the same point
sometimes
in time, you're not really building something
zone
for a you get so doggone comfortable, and you can't see past what needs to go past. You know, as far as we're not seeing future generations because they're impacted on everything that's going on right now. And if we don't stop and think about organizing, as you said, my brother, organizing so things can be in a better way for our for us as well as our future, the future of our children, grandchildren. So I do thank you for calling in. I appreciate your comment, and you know I'm going to give you a big hug when I see you. All right. Just to say a couple of more things. Just to say a couple more things just a little bit earlier about the O.J. Simpson. I want to go back to that because that really, oof, that ruffled my feathers this morning. You know, we're talking about the man, like, he, even the morning show host even said, well, he is 70 years old. You think he's going to cause that much trouble? Oh, if he do this, he, you know, she's really, really preaching damnation on O.J. Simpson. So, you know, it's a lot of people that don't like him. I just hope that the man has learned something and that in those 9 years that was taken out of his life, that he unites with his children and enjoy, you know, if he got grandkids, he probably do by now. He's probably bouncing them on his knee, you know, and go on with life and learn from the lessons that you've lived. Learn through them and keep on going. I touched a little bit on this tax plan. When I say wake up, because there's a lot of stuff we got to stay on top of. And I do believe that we can chew gum and tie our shoestrings at the same time. We can pay attention and boycott. For one thing, there's some things that, and I can give some useful tips that you can do while you are boycotting the NFL. So we'll talk about that a little bit further on in the show. I do want to talk about this tax plan, because, you know, once again, Trump, he sits up there and he does his usual thing. He lies. He lied. He told the American people that this tax plan was going to be all that and a piece of cake and that it's going to help the middle class and the wealthiest are going to do so good with it in the whole bit. And, you know, bottom line, the tax plan is full of crap. The 1%, the elite, they're going to do more in being, you know, being affected in a positive way with this tax plan. And the middle class is going to end up suffering the most. But see, that has always been the Republican thing. They never wanted a middle class in the first place. I mean, it is because of unions, because unions did create the middle class. So by largely, it's because of Democrats that a middle class became in existence. They do have the middle class at heart. All the things that they like to say are entitlement. You know, they say that all came from the Democrats. You know, the bottom line, people have to live, and we need to all get along. And right now, at this time, before I go further into the show, it is our call to salvation. And I'm not quite sure who's going to give it tonight.
Yes, we bless God for the information provided tonight. My sister, great show. As always, great information. And, you know, great job just handling, you know, the overall information that we are still processing. And, you know, we bless God that you know, we have someone, you know, like you, is able to break down some of the things that's happening, because there's, you know, so many smoke and mirrors, and there's so many misunderstandings that we don't understand that is going on. And sometimes we forget about the little things. And the little things that we forget about, you know, sometimes in the long run, so many little things will catch up to you. And everybody wants to understand, well, how did this happen, or how did we get at this point? Well, we got at that point is because we didn't handle the simple things that we could have handled in the beginning. And some of the things is handling our own salvation, handling our own personal belief, where we we set our soul in concrete belief that we know where we're going to go at in the end. And that is our goal, is we all want to reach the kingdom of heaven. And how do we guarantee that? By the belief and word of our Father. He brought his only begotten Son to die here for our sins on the cross. And the best way to do that is to exercise that with your tongue. And so I believe that Jesus Christ sent his only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Once you admit that out your tongue, there's no doubt that you believe. All you have to do is let somebody bear witness to that. And when you say that, you know, you say that with conviction. You say that just like, you know, our sister Darlene was saying, you know, how we cheer the NFL games, how we scream touchdown, how we scream first down, how we scream we won. We all want to win in the end. How do we win? By making sure our soul is saved, by seeking our salvation. This is how you do it. When you do this, this is guaranteeing your win against the devil. Guarantee your win. Secure your win. Call a friend. Walk outside and say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I wish to walk in a new life. When you do that, you're saved. And, you know, just don't stop there. You know, try to seek out a Bible-believing, preaching, teaching church where you can nourish in the Word of God. And if you can't find that, you know, that's why we're here. Almost every night we can broadcast. And for those who don't know how to begin that, you know, that walk anew, you know, I can say that I do have experience in that, because I have been where I thought I was in total darkness, where I didn't think that I would ever, you know, walk in the light. And what I did was I had a really good talk with Jesus, and I said, please, I know through you, you are my salvation. Please take me. Please forgive me of my sins. For you, I pray to journey into the kingdom of your Father. And when I said that, I felt a whole warmth over me. I knew that I was on my way. And I knew, I said, Father, please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Please wash me anew. Please welcome me in the kingdom. And you can say that, or you can say your own words. Just make sure it comes from the heart. And from that, you're washed anew, and you're welcome in the kingdom. And just make sure that when you do that, and you journey, when you walk in your new journey, that you make sure you truly are turning over a new leaf, and that you are truly seeking salvation, and it will be granted. And that's just from, you know, my personal experience. You know, we hope that, you know, everyone that is seeking out salvation truly seeks it. You may not seek it out this night. It may be in your heart. But just keep listening right here to Purpose Kingdom Network. And tomorrow we have another program at 9 p.m., which is going to be called DTW Ministries with our very own Aaron Williams. And we hope that, you know, you continue your journey on and your walk through your salvation. And please join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And once again, it's going to be DTW Ministries with our very own minister, Aaron Williams. And also, if you want to just send us an email, you can send us an email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter at purposekingdomnet. Purpose_kingdom. And, you know, we're also on Google Plus and iTunes, where if you haven't heard the entirety of this program, you can hear this program or any other programs from Purpose Kingdom Network in the archives right there. And coming up later on this month, on Saturday, October 21st, it's going to be the Phenomenal Sister Fish Fry, which is going to be at the Mill Creek Tavern at 4200 Chester Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. All platters there are going to be $12, and the event starts at from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. We hope everyone enjoys, you know, your walk in Christ. We hope you increase your nourishment in the Word. And my sister, Darlene, the show is back in your hands.
All right, then, my brother. Thank you so much. Can you just one more time run the announcement, the last announcement that you said?
Oh, the Phenomenal Sister Fish Fry?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be occurring on October 21st. And that's going to be at the Mill Creek Tavern at 4200 Chester Avenue. All platters there is going to be $12. And the event starts at 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the $12 platters, trust me, it's going to be for a good cause. And you're not going to have a skimpy platter. And as a matter of fact, those platters are going to be very healthy. And, you know, it's going to be worthwhile. So please join us at that event.
Okay. All right, then. All right. Thank you, my brother. So, and getting back to our topic, it is time to wake up. You know, we've been sleeping too long. We've been asleep way too long. And it is time to wake up. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes you got a repetition is when you get it. And we went out there. We tried to elect our first African-American president. In 7 and 8, we fought like fury, knocking on doors, doing everything we could, attending rallies, doing everything we could, getting people registered to vote so we can elect our very first African-American black president. And it was great. Oh, boy, it was hard work, but it was jubilee all at the same time because we accomplished something that we thought we would never see in generation. In a lifetime, I didn't think I would see it in my lifetime. And then 4 years went on by, and it was time for another run at it. And we did what we had to do. We went out there and, you know, did what we had to do, and we got this man reelected. But we fell asleep just before that, because in those midterm elections in 2010, after the hard work that we put in 2008, we decided to go to slumber. We sat back with our bellies full. We did all kinds of dances, happy, feast, ate all kinds of food, happy, partying. So happy, so proud, and we had very good reason to be. But the itis set in, and we went to sleep. And in 2010, we didn't get out there like we should have. And we let the House and the Senate gain control by the Republicans. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to stand up. We have to do everything in our being to make sure that we get out there, number one. Next month in November, in the city of Philadelphia, we have an election here. I believe it's city controller and it is the district attorney. But in 2018, we have the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf to get reelected. And we also have a host of senators and Congress that we need to bounce right on out on the air. And we need to put some new, fresh blood that is for working people in a real sense. We got a lot of work yet to do. We got a lot of work to do. All this while we got a crazy president that's running the country. He ain't real president, but that's his title. But with all that, we have to stay on point. You know, both of my brothers on tonight, and I'm so happy to talk to men tonight. You know, both of my brothers on tonight, they said some very profound things. The last caller, he talked about organizing. And that, no doubt, is what we must do. We must organize in order for us to get it together. But we have to learn a couple things. And one is that we have to do a better job at trusting each other, caring for each other, treating each other, caring, loving. For all those things, this is live radio, so I'm having a little technical difficulty right now. But just bear with me. I'm going to try and take care of that. But the bottom line is, we got to pull it together so that we can work together and get done the things that we need to do that is about the work that is. When I look at what's in that tax bill and how that tax bill, it looks good to talk about, just like the health care bill. I mean, really, truthfully, anything that Trump says good is not is good for him, not for you. And this is what people have to really understand. Trump lied and said it's a good bill, it's wonderful, and the rich is not going to be tax cut, and the middle class is going to have all kinds of tax breaks. He even had a moron on TV, and I have to say, talk about, oh, with the extra money, you can get your kitchen remodeled and you can buy a car. You know, they want you to take the little crumbs that's going to trickle down and run out there and put it back into the economy, which is what we are supposed to do to keep a moving economy. But when I talk about boycotting the NFL, you got to understand we need to take what we have and put it back into our economy. We need to build. We need to stop feeling like, or not just stop feeling, we need to stop doing improper things to create distrust amongst ourselves, mistrust. We need to tighten that up. I don't care whatever your religious persuasion is, or if you are a Protestant, Islamic, Catholic, or what. God made man. He did not make religion. And as men and women, we have to do a better job of caring for each other and caring about each other. Now, I'm kind of like halfway up on my horse, but I'm getting ready to get all the way on it, because when I talk about how we have to, did you know in Cuba there has been a mysterious virus that has affected 21 people in the American embassy? And it starts out with hearing issues and tinnitus. I have tinnitus myself, so tinnitus, some people call it tinnitus. It's the constant ringing. But it's a virus. It has like a concussion-like feel. But they believe that it is being done deliberately, that this is something that is happening. Wake up. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And as much as I'm all the way in about organizing and about boycotting the NFL and everything connected to it, and about our journey back to Wall Street, Black Wall Street, our own, building our own, as much as I am about all of that, we can't take our eye off of what is going on. There's a lot that is happening. And in order for us to be on top of our game, we can't fall asleep at the wheel. We got to wake up. All those little things, as the brother said, the little hats and game hats and all the little stuff, you know, jerseys and, you know, all that stuff that you run out there and buy. Who are you really serving? Who? Who is really benefiting from all those little trinkets and paraphernalia and memorabilia, whatever you want to call it? Who is really, really benefiting from that? It ain't you. That's a false sense of benefit. Because if it ain't keeping my money in my pocket and not spending it on that stupid stuff, and my action in doing that is building a better future for me, my family, my children, my children's children, if that helps to change this world, then that's the most beneficial thing. Now, a little bit earlier, and I know we're into archives at this point, but a little bit earlier, I talked about men, while you are boycotting the NFL, if you really serious and understand, you know, and can do it, and I know you can, you can stand out, you can hold out. The brother said a year or two, might have to take another season. But look what you can do with your time. You can do some positive stuff within that time. And I know what you all say, I'm a wife now. She's going to think I'm supposed to be all up under her. Sports is the only way I could have time for myself. Hey, you might feel that way. I'm a realist, okay? But what's so wrong about building your family? What is so wrong about spending time with your family? What is so wrong with your children seeing you and your wife or whatever the situation is enjoying quality time together? One of the things we don't do enough is families doing family type worry. You don't have to run out there and spend a lot of money. You can play games at home. People might say, games, that's corny. No. That's building unity. That's spending quality time. That's feeling the love and letting them love you and you love them. What is wrong with going back to doing family things together? And what is wrong with finishing up maybe some of the things that you said you were going to get around to do? I got stuff myself. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. I'm a realist, like I said, and that's why I can say it. Some of the things that you say you're going to get around to do, you never get around to because you're working every day and you're dealing with this and dealing with that. When you come in, you really don't feel like it. Well, instead of playing armchair quarterback, you can have at it and get some of those things off the list. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a rewarding feeling when you accomplish something that you have put off for a while and you get it done, I know. I'm speaking from experience here. But there is a multitude of things that you can do. You can, you know, use your time to help mentor young men. You can, young women, not men, I'm not talking mentoring young women, but I'm talking about, there's so many other things that you can do. You can help out feeding the homeless on Sundays. There's other things, other initiatives that you can spend your time and put your time wisely and not just think that, I'm volunteering all my time and efforts. Now, if you want to make some extra money, you can do that too. You can make yourself some money too, okay? You can round up some of the stuff that you've been hoarding all this time and take it on down to the flea market and sell it. Get yourself some money that way. There are many things that you can do, or you can just sit back, read a book, write a book. That might be something you might say, hey, you know, I might want to write. I like writing myself. Point that I'm making is the men that I have talked to, they put the most distressful look on their face when I talk about boycotting the NFL. They're like, woman, will you shut up? I do not want to hear what you're saying. I got it all. I got my chips. I got my dips. I got my sandwiches. I'm set. You know, I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. I get that. But change is not bad. Change is good. One thing, and we learn many things, but truly one thing that President Obama talked about change. And he always said change happens from the bottom up. You plant something in the ground. Stuff don't grow at the top and then grow down the bottom if you plant it in the ground. It started where the foundation, where it was planted. And then it grew and it went up and it built and went, you know, grew into whatever it was that was planted to find ways to come together and to stop being separate and falling and falling for all the hoodwink stuff that you see on TV. The brother said something I said months ago. He talked about the dollar in the Caucasian community, Jewish, whatever, goes down 17 times. You recall I said it stays in the community 17 days when I did the show on our journey back to Black Wall Street. The dollar stays in our community 6 hours. So this information, and when somebody comes along and says something to, you know, the same effect, that's always confirmation. We need to look at that and think about that strongly. But the main thing, we got several things. We got several tentacles out there. We have to stay awake, keep our eye on what's going on, do the things that we need to do, pay attention, but we also need to be vigilant and stand on that issue, Colin Kaepernick and boycotting the NFL. It is wrong that they are disparaging him and not giving him a job. That is wrong. The message that he is sending really is beyond even that. But that is highlighted is what's wrong. I'll be right back at you. I believe that's still on the 16th of October. I'm right on back, and we'll talk some more. I pray that we do have peace and that there is some healing all across this world. Tell them, be good to yourself, and God bless you. Good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.